Good morning. Great day. Are you ready to stand to your feet? Let's make our affirmation. This is what we do until he comes to pick us up. Say it together. Ready? This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. Louder this time. This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. So here we are. Here it is. Calling this series The Reality Check. We can all agree right now, we're in a mess, aren't we? It's amazing to me how even smart people don't understand and how or see how we got in this mess. But yet the simplicity and the power of the word has explained it to us and forewarned us since the beginning of time to prepare us. But yet we look at things because what happens is we live in a time where we want an answer other than that. We want an answer other than that. That they'll climb a tree and tell about somebody's problems or somebody's life instead of talking about the thing that's inside of a man and inside of a woman that the Lord has to take care of. I'm dealing with some not awkwardness, but I'm dealing with a personal struggle in the delivery and even in the writing of these 3 weeks, and maybe it'll be longer than that, because I know sometimes when you say things like I'm going to say in the next few minutes, I see people that do it for the fun and for the shock value, but no, that's not it at all. I've repeatedly warned over the last few years, please wake up, please wake up, please wake up, look around. At times I've almost felt like a Christian Paul Revere, you know, the evil is here right now. Many people are still not, and I wrote, when I wrote this word, many people are still not seeing. I put quotes around it. As a matter of fact, religious people, you expect people who don't know God to be against your message. But when you feel people who claim the name of Jesus, the so-called religious people, and you feel the rejection that comes from saying those things because people want to dismiss you, or we don't believe that, or God's great, la, 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 let's just ride the truck and wait for him to pick us up. And you feel that rejection, that's very, very uncomfortable. My natural personality is such, I want to please you. I want to encourage you. I like to see you smile. That makes me feel good when you smile. That makes me feel good. But there's some things, you know, I've laughed about it sometimes. And I said, some of these messages are not a spoonful of sugar. They're broccoli messages. You got to eat them. And although you don't really like them at times. But I felt like there's been a price. But here's what I understand about, I don't mean this in a cold sense, but I mean it in an understanding for you to understand. Part of my job is to say some of the things. People speak of callings. People speak of things that the Lord has put in your heart. But we find out that the Lord gives us different assignments in each of our lives, and we need to be true to those things we're feeling inside of our heart. In the book of Isaiah, in Isaiah 21, in Isaiah 21, there's a statement that's made that, with regards to what's going on and about people being alert of what's going on, there's a statement in Isaiah 21 verse 11 that says this, and it's a call out. Watchmen, what of the night? In other words, the New Living says, watchmen, how much longer until morning, and when will night be over? And it's always interesting that we ask those questions. If we've gone through a difficult evening ourselves, a night of depression, a night of torment, a night of fear, a night of anguish, a night of anger and things like that, and you're waiting, it can be so slow. It can be so slow until you see light. When you, that statement, watchman, Back in 2014, Time Magazine did an article on something that we are involved in, and it's called the Family Research Council. They write a lot of good material. You should have it and get some of the emails from them, and they alert you of what's going on in Congress, what's going on in the church, what's going on in America right now. And in the Family Research Council, there's a segment of that that's called the Watchman on the Wall. That's a network of pastors. And the Watchman, and they identify it this way in the Time Magazine article, is the one who's committed to watch what goes on in the culture, to pray for wisdom to engage the culture, and to sound the alarm of perceived cultural transgressions from the pulpit. We live in a time right now where people are telling us we can't do it or we should not do it, and we are the voices that they want to have silenced there. This concept is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 62, verse 6, and here's what it says. He says, I have posted watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They will never be silent, day or night. You who call on the Lord, give yourselves no rest. In other words, don't stop. Don't stop right now. And really, I'm standing in front of you right now in that capacity, and that will be the capacity of these next three messages right now. You want the real reality right now, not the reality of what you see. It's not a problem with this. It's not a problem with this. The real reality is this statement. Sin is real. Evil is real. The devil is real. And it's not an accident. It has been unleashed big time. In fact, it has been very, very intentional. And as we walk right now, every day in the Word, we need a fresh revelation of God's keeping power in our lives and over our lives. You understand the difference there? The keeping on the inside, that is our behavior. That is the way we conduct ourselves. That deals with our heart. That deals with our integrity. That deals with the words of our mouth. That deals with our intents, our likes, our passions, and the way we conduct it. And then when we talk about God's keeping power over our lives, and that is the protective thing of the Word, that although we are walking in that, we're believing we will walk through difficult times, but we know how this is going to end, and it is his covering upon us right now. And I thank God for that. I have warned. I started this, and I looked at I went far back. For over 15 years, I've warned about, in fact, I didn't say it very eloquently at first because I thought it was a little bit too radical 15 years ago. And I made this statement over and over. Do not be distracted by the shiny. And I said that a few times, and some people went, Yeah, God love him, you know, and whatever. But maybe I wasn't forceful enough. I need to get a little more pointed right now. I have warned about two words, distraction and deflection. Now, these are tools that are from the garden, okay? And I wrote this statement, I have been feeling things and I have been seeing things that I really don't want to feel. And I don't want to see. But I think in this capacity, I need to just lay these out to you. I need to lay these out to you. I have a getting off part, but I'm going to get it as hard as I can until the time comes. And then it's up to you to walk and run with these things. There's a few, and I'm going to hit some things over the next few weeks. And it might be uncomfortable. In fact, I wrote, there are a few uncomfortable examples right before our eyes. And we need a reality check to wake up and see where they come from. For far too long, we've not paid attention to that. I'm asking you, I'm imploring you, do not be naive. Do not be misled. And you never thought I'd use it like this. And don't be too spiritual to realize there is a plan and it's not good. Don't be, you know, people that are just too spiritual? They're too spiritual. Don't be so spiritual that you don't realize that there's an enemy, there's a plan. It can start as simply as just a division. You see, right now, see, if they can divide us into groups, they're winning the battle right now. As flawed as the founders were, they took that one statement and they said the founding statement will be out of many, one. Very similar to exactly what the Word says. We come from every walk of life, every background, every color, every persuasion. We come together, but when we enter into Christ, we are a species that never existed before. Our blood has changed, and we are of one blood, but yet now the church is following the very same thing, where they've turned that upside down, whereby out of one, we have now fragmented. Am I making this clear right now? And all you got to do is put your glasses on, and the thing that would divide us, it's not good. Do you know when you see all the conflict that are going on? The culture is playing a gigantic game of whack-a-mole. Do you ever play whack-a-mole? I used to take the boys to Chuck E. Cheese there. I don't know who ever thought the idea that kids would be happy when a 6-foot rat walked up in front of you right now. They're all screaming there. But we'd play these games there, and we'd get these tickets, and we'd spend $20 and $30 for these tickets, and they gave them a pencil, and when they turned it in, or a pencil sharpener, or a ball there, and I could have bought them 10 of those balls and to do that right now. But there's one little game, they give you a hammer, and it's called whack-a-mole, and it's a little mole, and he jumps up, and you got to see how fast you can hit. That's what we're living in right now. And that is part of the plan of the culture. To have us so divided. One eye here, one eye there. Look at this, run to this. Run. You got a border problem, run to that right now. You got a food problem right now. You got an energy problem, you run to that. You got a political problem, you run to that right now. You've got all these things right now. I just want you to know that is part of a political strategy that people buy into. Do a little research. It's called the Cloward, C-L-O-W-A-R-D, Cloward Piven, P-I-V-E-N, the Cloward Piven strategy. It's a political strategy that was birthed in the early 1960s by two American sociologists and political activists, Richard Cloward and Francis Fox Piven. The strategy is to upset a society. Now, by the way, when you see these things, people in their own lives can be upset. Yeah, have you ever had that? You got so many things going on that are, what's going wrong here? I'm sick here. I got this. Look at this, fell apart over here. I got this. And we're running like, and we're like those cartoon characters that are spinning right now. The strategy, now this is what many of your leaders, in fact, most of the leaders, the leaders that you don't know too, they have prescribed to this concept. The strategy is to force political change leads to the collapse of society through the concept of orchestrated crisis. Does this make sense to you? You do something, and you have so many different whack-a-mole crisis things going on that our minds are, we are divided in our attentions, and we're not as good when we are divided there. Now, what happens here right now, and I'm going to give you an exact quote from one of their things, to hasten the fall of America by overloading the bureaucracy and flood it with impossible demands right now. They're impossible demands right now. Impossible demands. Unpayable national debt. It's impossible now. It's impossible, right? But if I start talking right now and I stop talking in 1 minute from not right now, you do need to know that your government borrowed $46 million in that minute. Okay? So you've got all these, and the idea is to flood these things. And there ain't nothing free, tell the young society of today. Somebody's paying for it. Somebody's paying for it right now. To flood with impossible demands, unpayable national debt, manufactured scams like climate, things like that. Mr. Kerry that's running around. By the way, Mr. Kerry flying all around in some of this stuff. We should be good stewards of the planet, but it is not. You're dealing with concepts of green communism is really what it is. You got a guy, Mr. Kerry, who married his money, who lives like a king, who has multiple houses, 7 or 8 houses, multiple cars. He flies on his carbon footprint is bigger than the state of Montana by himself, with planes and things like that. And he's wanting to do things to change food, to put men out of business. Now, this is one of the whack-a-moles that you look at. Some of you go, well, you know, I don't know if I'm... Okay, just do a little reading and pray about it. Pray that God would change my heart. He's going to quit. He's done nothing in his life except undermine America. And the man they are putting in right now, from all things pointing, appears to be a pedophile. Radical pedophile. Other methods the unfettered thing going on down south right now, what's going on, that's ungodly what's going on. Not only is it cruel, it's ungodly right now what's happening down there. But if I got on an airplane, or if she got on an airplane, they pull me out of the line. Something's not right. The idea of this strategy, what Klaus Schwab, another pervert, is doing with the World Economic Forum and the WHO. His lead advisor is a man by the name of Yuval Noah Harari. Here's the goal. This is the end of human history. Not the end of history, but the end of a history dominated by humanity. The story will go on, but someone else will control it. It's right there. It's right there. I'll give you more a little bit later. The intentional removing of the guidelines of history, of the family unit, of what sexuality should look like, of gender fluidity. They know they're not going to get you, so they're going to go with the kids. On Netflix right now, there's a show about science for kids, especially to encourage little girls to explore and do science. Ada Twist, Scientist, that's the name of it. It showcases stories of students coming together and to celebrate the science. But in one such episode, they come together and they celebrate and decide to be the ones to help set up the teacher's gay wedding. It's a kid cartoon on Netflix. It's aimed at preschoolers. The executive producers are Barack and Michelle Obama. I hate that. That's not good. Why is there a push for children? Why is it going for the kids? Why don't you ever see drag queens reading to old folks? Going to the old folks' home. You don't see any twerking and pole dancing at an old folks' home between shuffleboard and checkers with Mamaw and Papaw, do you? You see things going for little children, and it's in our money. It's in our entertainment. It's in our leadership. Lord, help us. And I don't have time to get into He Gets Us. Yeah, He gets us. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm a cheerleader. I support things. I support things I'm not even totally for at times. I don't mean that in a bad way, but things I go, they could have been done a little bit better. But I see somebody singing a song on TV, a Christian song, and I say, man, that's really a way to do it. I support some of these movies of these Christian themes. Some of them aren't done very well yet, but I promote them. I'm so proud of what they've done with The Chosen and things like that. I might have doctrinal questions in my personal mind, but I want to promote that so much that I want you to get an appetite for it, and maybe it'll make somebody else read those things. I am so for that. I honor those guys, what they have done down there. Can you believe it? They make it in Texas. Is that, that's movie magic, isn't it? They make it, they film it in Texas. I am so much for that. I promote these things right now. So when I first saw a commercial that says, yeah, and I said, that's sweet. Somebody said, that cost a lot of money to do. They spent $11 million, though, to show you. You know, He doesn't get us in our sin to where He's not here to approve. He is not here to approve. And for the picture of Jesus washing the feet of a deliberately effeminate man sitting there, I don't have time to go into that either. And sitting there and wash, I don't have time. For Jesus washing the feet of the girl walking in to the abortion clinic, I don't have time for that right now. That is deception, though. Because the producers, not the people who helped fund it, because they were well-meaning people that put money up, but the producers and the people that helped buy the time and create the structure. In the creating of it, they're avowed people that go for things that are not in that book that you hold to right now. And so that's why we need an understanding, and don't let the shiny, oh, isn't that great? We should all be singing Kumbaya. Pay attention. Lord, I'm thankful for the attention you'll get, but Father, that this is not right. And I'll go into more of that later on. Gordon Chang is a man. He's a godly man. He's a Chinese man. I've loved him for years, and I've read a lot of his writings. I've heard him in radio interviews and TV interviews for years. Lynn and I got to meet him a year ago, and I just got to tell him, I just love you, man. I'm praying for you. And I got, and it was really a cool moment for me. And Gordon Chang, on a regular basis, talks about what's going on in China right now. And this is why you need to be awake. Gordon Chang said it this way right now. He said, the unholy are taking over this world. We must pray and stop them before it's too late. Now, wait a minute. I'm a Christian. Everything's going to turn out good for those who love him. I thought we had a blessed, we've got a Christian nation. No, actually, the nation is hanging by a thread right now. By the way, and what they'll do, they'll use language to demean you by speaking about the Christian faith. Well, you just want to be a Christian nationalist. Let me tell you something right now. I believe in the freedom of our country. I believe in freedom for, God created us to have a free will, and that people can come together and worship. I am thankful for that and the people who sacrifice for that. I am not for making you either read this Bible or you're going to jail. That's what they do. And by the way, everything they say, they do. We're hanging by a thread right now. So what do you do when you're overwhelmed? You stand on what the word says. Proverbs 14:34 said, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. America is hanging by a thread. Psalm 33, verse 10 said, the Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. I'm praying that we'll be able to see that. We're not there yet. Why? Verse 11. Because the counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart is to all generations. So I want to have the word to the point to let everyone know the word is for all generations. He really gets us. We are sinners. He never came to affirm anyone in their sin. Go and what? Sin no more. And they get that, well, you should be compassionate. You should be, that. Please ask God to wake us all up. Because verse 12 says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen for his inheritance. Now, let me say something. I'm getting ready to make a hard turn here. The direction and the destination of a life, a home, leading to the creation of a nation is directly dictated by the accumulating decisions of individuals who make up that home and that nation. You got it? There's a core problem right now. Jonathan Cahn says it this way. America has turned to other gods. We have profaned the sacred and we have hallowed the profane. The Old Testament prophet said it over and over. He said, cursed are those who take that which is good and call it evil. We're living in a time right now where saying truth out of the scripture gets punished, but lying does not get punished. You can tell any lie you want. You can tell any lie you want. You can have it on any computer. You can have any picture that even, and that you do not have that. We live in a time right now where two little boys climbed up on the desk of a hallowed meeting room in the United States Capitol and filmed their gay porn on the desk, on top of the desk there. Nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. We need a wake-up call. We need a reality check. Shocked? No, because the word tells us this. Don't be alarmed when you see it. Christians go, like that, and then they get off their game. Just that's par for the course. That's what I say. There's always been a struggle against God's people, and it does not end well, though, for the enemies of God. I'll tell you that much right now. But before we look forward, let's look back. The world was boiling in evil one day. God was grieved. Genesis 17 tells of three visitors who showed up to the house of Abraham and Sarah. They gave them some interesting news when the angels visited that actually created a lot of laughter in there. She sure wasn't a candidate to have a baby, and it created laughter. But there were other things that he said, the angels said, on the behalf of God. And as you turn to the next chapter, The word about what was going on in Sodom had reached the ears of God. And he had sent men. And in chapter 18, it says, these men rose from there. Sodom was a mess by the time, by the way. And rose from there, and they, by the way, when it says they rose from there, that means they were closely examining Sodom, what was going on. Abraham went with them to send them on the way. And the Lord, by the way, there's a conversation goes, the Lord is debating on how much he wants to tell Abraham right now. And God says, shall I hide it from Abraham what I'm going to do? Since Abraham surely will become a great, mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness, to do justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he had spoken to him. In other words, this is God. God made a promise, and God was going to be true to his word, but he wanted everybody to know he's expecting stuff from us, and he wanted them to keep the way. The Lord says in verse 20, because of the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is very great, and because their sin is very grave. By the way, when it says very grave, the concept here means their sin will corrupt everything that it touches. Got it? Their sin will corrupt everything it touches. I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me. If not, I'll know. Well, anyway, what happens is that the men, the angels, turn away, and they start moving towards Sodom. And actually, in one of the verses, it says, when they left, it said, Abraham stood still before the Lord. That was not idle, by the way. He was presenting himself to the Lord. He was interceding, as Linda said. He sought the Lord at this point in time. Then he goes back and forth with the famous conversation with God. And he says, God, let me ask you a question, God. He said, if there are 50 righteous people, would you save the place? And God said, oh, well, all right, you know. He loved him. I proved that already. He said, and you're not going to judge the earth if I find 50 righteous people? Okay, fine. A few minutes pass, and he's thinking about what it's really like there. And he said, in the old Maxwell Smart, would you believe? Remember the old Get Smart thing? He said, would you believe? What if I find 40 righteous people there? Would you destroy it? Eh, no, okay, I'll let 40. I'll do that for 40. A few minutes later, he said, well, what about 30? What about 30? What about 20? Finally, in verse 32, suppose I find 10. Okay, I won't destroy the land if there are 10 followers for my sake and for your sake. Verse 32 said, the Lord went his way, and Abraham returned to his place. Well, I'm not going to read it right now. I'm going to tell you part of the story, and then I'm going to pick up reading. When you turn to chapter 19, Sodom is a mess. It's named Sodom for a reason, by the way, and different. That's why you have these words. What happened was these men, these angelic men that had an appearance of natural men, they go to the city in Sodom, and they find Lot. Lot is sitting out near in the front of the city somewhere. And basically, it's like I knew you were coming type conversation going on there. And what happened there was so vile, it's not even told anymore. So don't be shocked when you see little fellas in Congress. It's said that when the men of the city saw those men, they ran toward them and tried to break into Lot's house. And one translation actually says, we want to have sex with those men. That was in the chapter 19 front part. It's there. Well, there's a lot of going back and forth. And finally, the word says the angels slammed the door and struck all of them blind, and they couldn't even find the door anymore. The door is closed. They're on the inside. And we pick up in verse 12. The men said to Lot, who do you have here? Son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, whomever you have. Take them out of this place. For we're going to destroy this place. Why? Because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. So Lot went out, and here's what happened. Now, this boy, you talk about feeling rejection. Ask Noah. So he goes out there and he spoke to his sons-in-laws who had married the daughters. Get up, get out of this place. The Lord's going to destroy this place. But they laughed at him. They mocked him. They said he was joking. And here's where you got to understand, not everyone will respond to the warning. It's not your job to do anything but deliver the word and then ask God for help and illumination. The morning dawned, the angels hurried Lot up. Hurry, man, arise. Get your family and your two daughters. These were four people that were born into covenant. The boys did not receive the message, so the number wasn't 10, it was 4. Get your wife and your two daughters who are here. He probably had even other family members, lest you be consumed by what's going to happen right now. And while he lingered, he's thinking about it all, the men just went ahead and grabbed his hand, grabbed his wife's hand, and took his two daughters. And the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out, and they set him outside the city. It came to pass that when they had brought them outside, then he said, escape for your life. And here's what he said. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, or you will be destroyed. Well, the story goes, he says, look, I can't move too fast. I'm not the youngest guy on the planet right now. He said, we know of another little city. Could we go to that? Yeah, go on to that. Verse 23 says, the sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered. The name of the town was Zoar. Now, Zoar means dark, small, insignificant, gloomy. It says, and then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. He overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the city, and even what grew on the ground. But here's a statement right here, verse 26. But his wife looked back. Stop right here. Do you remember when I read the statement that it said the angels looked toward Sodom? They looked on it. They were examining. I think I used the word examining that. Okay, now watch this. It goes to this word here. It said, but here's what happened. But his wife looked back. Now, this was not this. Watch this. This was a longing gaze. It was the pull was still there. It was a longing gaze in contrast to the view of examination that the angels did in verse 16. But notice the statement here, and I never saw this before, and I've read this all my life. Notice what it says. Look at it. But his wife looked back behind him. Stop. What was the posture of the deal? As the leader, he was the last one protecting his family, and he was there, and they were there. And not only did she look back, but she had to go around her given protective shield. She had to go around behind him. There had to be, does that make sense to you? It was an active thing. It wasn't just, oh man, I'm going to miss my house. There was probably wailing going on there. But she didn't just look back. She had to move around to the one that God ordained to be the one to lead them and to protect them. Does that make sense? I liked it better than you did. He was prodding, he was protecting, and she looked around his covering deliberately. And the word said she became a pillar of salt. Don't look back. This statement right here is the teaching moment that goes through the scripture, even to the New Testament of Luke chapter 17, where it makes three-word statement, remember Lot's wife. Paul writes so much about the things of this world, the things we hold to. But we sing the song, if we look to Jesus, the things of earth grow dim in the light of his glory, in the light of his grace. Remember Lot's wife. She turned into a pillar of salt. To lighten your mood for just a moment right now, you know the Sunday school story? They were telling that in the Sunday school, and it said, Lot's wife looked back, and she turned into a pillar of salt. Little boy said, yeah, this week at the grocery, my mom looked back and ran into a phone pole, she said. So the story in verse 27 switches back to Abraham, the covenant man. Y'all remember him. And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. And then he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, toward all the land of the plain. He saw, behold, the smoke of the land, which went up like a smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, notice this statement, when God destroyed the cities of the plain. Here's what you need to know, y'all, when you get a little fearful at times. God remembered his covenant boy. He remembered his covenant person. God remembered Abraham. Be smart, be alert. Prepare yourself for all kinds of different things. Don't just la-di-da your way and skip through and sing kumbaya. You get yourself prepared. You get smart. You do what you have to do. But know the bottom line is God will remember his covenant people and sent out Lot midst of the overthrow. And he overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt. Then he took care of them. What's this have to do with us? A whole lot. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for the very things we're celebrating in mainstream media, in children's television, in our schools, in our libraries, in our corporations, and in every TV commercial. It's real easy, though, for me to sound like the national brush of national sin, how awful it is. But let me say something to you. National sins will bring national judgment. Sin is a reproach on any nation. I already read that. However, before there is national sin, there is individual sin. This is where the war should be, in the individual of the man, in the heart of the woman. The question is, what kind of wisdom do we walk in? Today, people are being conned. They're actually being imprisoned. I've used the word distraction. I use the word deflection, shiny, things like that. It's kind of like watching a magician and getting fooled by the sleight of hand, the distraction, or the word is the misdirection. I've loved to watch that ever since I've been a little kid. I've been intrigued watching those, and I've watched some of those videos on there of how they do those. I'm amazed of how they do certain things like that. But our mind is so powerful, and the misdirection and the thing that happens there, it's all a trick. It's a trick, but boy, it's pretty skillful when you see that done there. And what happens, there's a diverse, you look this way, while there's a shooting going on, something deeper is happening right now. While there's an explosion down south, something deeper is going on right there. While you see something else, there's something deeper going on over there. Ask God what it is. What is the illumination there? Before you get locked up in your house, there's something far deeper than just what they're saying the deal is going. Wake up, y'all. We need a reality check. It's called the magician's bargain, and the great C.S. Lewis wrote about it in his book called The Abolition of Man. Here's what he said. And when you're dealing, notice this, thinking in terms of following that which is shiny. Watch. It is called the magician's bargain. Here's what it says. Give up your soul, get power in return. But once our souls, that is ourselves, have been given up, the power thus confirmed on us will not belong to us. We shall, in fact, be slaves and puppets of that which we have given our souls. Nobody's going to be skipping out. We've sold our souls. We've sold our freedoms. We've sold our speech. We've sold even the ability to defend ourselves. We've sold our occupations, our ability to own property. That's being done away with. You know, when that little girl when you're checking out and you're buying your peanut butter and jelly, hey, what's your phone number? They're going to give you 10 cents off your dollar. But in that list, that phone number, they know everything you've ever bought. We don't use cash anything. They know everything you've consumed there. And right now you go, oh, isn't that, we're saving a little money. That's a magician's bargain. And the day's going to come, if your numbers don't add up right and you've bought something that they don't agree with, you're not going to be able to leave your house. You certainly will not be able to fly. Right now, there's movement right now in one of the countries in Europe right now that says the law is that one person can only take one airplane trip a year. right now. It's going on right now. They're trying to get that passed. We've given up our movement, the defense, and even our birthright, our national birthright, for a feeble promise of safety, welfare, a cup of soup, a check, and it's been so easy. We need a reality check. Paul the Apostle gave us one, and I lay it in your lap as you walk out today. Now concerning how and when all this will happen, dear brothers and sisters, we really don't even need to write it to you, for you know quite well that the day of the Lord's return will come unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. Now watch this. We will all be safe. We'll all be free if we bow to this, the magician's bargain, as C.S. Lewis says. If we just give this up, we're going to be okay. They claim that there were 16,000 churches when Adolf Hitler was elected. Notice that word that I use. Hitler was elected. Elected. We think story he came in with his army and took over. He was elected. They claim, when you read some of the writings of Bonhoeffer and some of the others, that there was only 3,000 out of the 16,000 churches that were willing to stand up and say, this is smelling all the way to heaven. This is wrong right now. This is wrong right now. But the strong other ones, the elite, the beautiful people, the coffee and the smoke and the mirrors and the feel good and two poems and a prayer, you don't need, it's going to be all right. We're good. We're fine. And it said when he was elected by a lot of the votes of the 12,000 churches, that first thing he did, he wiped out all of the 3,000. And it was just a matter of a year or so when he had wiped out all 12,000. Grandma used to say it's that snake and the frog. You know the snake and the frog, don't you? Snake says to the frog, let me swallow you, and then we'll both be one. That's where we are today. Now watch it. We want peace. We want love. I saw these little fellas going down the street, and they had their rainbow banner. And they were in their little outfits on, and they were screaming, we love Palestine. We love Palestine. Take your little flag to Palestine, and you'll be told the meeting room is on the 10th floor, the rooftop bar of the Holiday Inn in Palestine. And you'll be flying off that roof with your flags. But it is that thing that drives. If we just do this, you can't make a bargain with hell. And when people are saying everything is peaceful and secure, sounds like this is so current. Then disaster falls on them suddenly as a pregnant woman's labor pains begin. And as my understanding, you have no warning when that shows up. And there will be no escape. But notice this. Remember covenant people? God remembered Abraham. Watch this. But you aren't in the dark about these things, brothers and sisters. And you're not going to be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. For you are all children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to the darkness. We don't belong to the night. So what are we going to do, y'all? So be on your guard. Here's your reality check. Do not be asleep like the others. Stay alert. Be clear-headed. Nighttime is when people sleep and drinkers get drunk. But let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith, of love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of salvation. Yes, sin is a reproach to any nation. That's in Proverbs. But the word tells us that as covenant people, we should know the difference between the dark and the light. Next week, three words. We're going to look at contrast, patterns, and strategies. The next thrilling episode of Reality Check. Stand up.